So it's very important that we pray effective prayers. We do not waste our time. I believe that God is raising us up again to be able to do work with Him. The purpose of prayer, don't ever forget it, is to bring the will of God down to the earth. When Jesus was teaching His disciples to pray, He told them, pray amongst the points He gave them, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. All right, literally say as it is in heaven. But when you know the understanding, if you have the understanding of what he was talking about God having a plan, and that plan is written in heaven, and that is what is called the will of God. Very important we understand that. Now, we have been saying that oftentimes people don't not realizing it, they focus more on the enemies, and it's today's plague, and we are solving that. And our prayers shouldn't be focused on the enemies of life. Our prayers should be focused on our relationship with God and getting the will of God done on the earth. And we must be careful to take our examples from the scriptures. You will see, reading through the Bible, that troubles God always, all right? The people who worked with God, they ascribed trouble to a gap between a people and their God. Troubles were never because of enemies. Please, let's purge our minds of these African mentality. Do you understand that? Troubles are not because you have enemies. This is the will of God concerning you. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. No, that's not what I want to quote. What I want to quote is that He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That is, God can still prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. If you don't have something going well for you in this life, it is not because you have enemies. Please, I need to say that. You know, I was trying not to repeat myself today, but I need to say it again. If things are not working out for you, it is not because you have enemies. Did you hear that? Please tell your neighbor that so that you'll be sure the person heard it. Another point we should remind ourselves of, we've talked about them again and again. If things are not working out well for you, it is not because of the devil. Tell somebody. Please have a discussion without your neighbor. It's very important. And I need people to grasp this thing and believe it. No, have the discussion. I'm serious. Explain to the person. It's not the devil. It's not the devil. Now, please, I just want people to understand that, Christians to understand it. Troubles in life are not primarily because there are enemies. Troubles in life for believers, I'm not preaching to unbelievers. Most of the people who go to church these days, they don't believe anything. All right? That's the issue. So I'm preaching to believers. Don't let anybody harass your life with testimonies. I dreamt it was my auntie. I've heard many of those testimonies. I don't believe a word of them. Then after they prayed, something now happened to her. I became free. You are a sinner. If God cannot free you without killing your auntie, you are a sinner. Listen, I am not saying there will not be times in which God, listen, let me just, people will think, sometimes we are talking like this, people don't get you well. The impression they get that you are saying that there are no enemies, there are no witches, there are no devils. And I keep on saying it, I never said that. I am always trying to look at you as a person. And my best example all the time, because of my professional training, is to look at a human being and his health. On this table, there are bacteria. And you wipe your face, you are using a bacteria-laden face towel or handkerchief to wipe a bacteria-covered face. And you will drop it on the bacteria-covered table. And let nobody lie to you that you should buy one antiseptic to be cleaning your house. It's a joke. Those things are not designed to help you. They are designed to help the companies that make them. They just make money for those people. Ordinary soap and water is what you need. Once something looks clean on the surface, it's good enough for normal life. You know why? You cannot purge your house of bacteria so much that they won't be there. See that picture? There's one advert you see on television, which is I didn't say anything. You're the one that mentioned the name. But there's this advert, you say a child will arrive from school, you know, bruised, and the mother will be cleaning with. They say, oh, because my children play, they always bathe with, or wash them with this. Wash with soap and detergent, it is good enough. Those bacteria can never be wiped out entirely. And it's not important to wipe them out. Why? Because once your immune system is intact, they are not a problem. But those that have their immune systems wiped out, like when they are doing what they call stem cell or bone marrow transplantation, you heard they decided doing it in the University of Benin Teaching Hospital some last year or the year before, you understand? Now, I was talking to one of the doctors who do that. And, of course, before they transplant new cells, all right, from the donor, they first wipe out the bone marrow cells of the person who's going to receive. And the immune system is made in the bone marrow. Do you understand that? So for a few days, that fellow is without any immune system. So that is when they put him in a purified chamber. The air going in there is filtered. Then they literally, what I said to you cannot be done in normal life. They succeed in doing it in a special environment. The bed sheets are not the one you wash with it also. That is, they are cooked. You sterilize everything. Because for some days, he's totally without an immune system. The problem is not the bacteria in the environment. The problem is with what? His immune system. That is what kills people that have AIDS. The immune system is wiped out by the HIV. He now develops what they call an acquired immune deficiency. So all problems now start jumping on top of him. This is my teaching. That witches are bacteria. If you believe that, say amen. They are the pests of the spiritual world. The devil is just a troublesome virus. If our spiritual immune systems are intact, they are not our problem. That's what I'm saying. That is why God can prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And that's what I'm emphasizing. So believers, we do our God-centered praying. We are not fighting off the devil. We are moving closer to our God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's how it is. We move closer to him. And that becomes for us automatic protection. That's what I've been saying. I'm just repeating what we said before. And that's what I wanted to know. Let me say it again. You don't have to wake up at night. In fact, I forbid you from waking up at night to be praying against enemies. It's unnecessary. It's a plague in today's Christianity and have been deputized by God to go and stop it. You understand what I'm saying there? Yes, God wants me to teach and tell people, stop wasting time. Stop using your energy for that which does not satisfy. You cannot spend your time in prayer. In fact, you are not allowed at all talking to the devil. The devil will have told you, this year, you will not get me. I've warned you, this year, you will not get into 1 whole hour, you know, my mother and I were always disagreeing, when they say that, Catholics will say, we don't worship Mary, we honor Mary. I said, you honor somebody for 1 whole hour. The one you are worshiping, how many hours will you spend? We have the argument. I said, give me a rosary. Let's calculate it. I said, what length of time? I said, roses called by any other name will still smell nice. A lot of Christians do that. Worship of Satan. What do I mean? You spend 1 whole hour reminding the devil, talking to the devil. One brother does this in school. He said, let us pray to torment demons. Are you hellfire? problem. He said, he turned to the table and let us pray. I said, why? He said, so that we can torment evil spirits. You want the devil to be tormented, I'll tell you, resist his temptations. That is torment for him. There is a time they will be tormented. That's not your job. Your name is not Lake of Fire. You're not the angel that will bind the devil for 1,000 years in the abyss. You are not. So you should not be, you know, starting prayers to torment the devil. Please, away from demon, devil, enemy-centered praying. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Let's remove those things. They are unnecessary. They are a waste of our times. You must not get up and your focus. Want to pray now. Let us begin to bind all the enemies that say we will not progress. The enemies that say we will not bear children. The enemies that say we will not marry. The enemies that say we will not be promoted. The enemies that say now we will now bind them and cast Holy Ghost fire upon them. I have warned you about Holy Ghost fire misuse. And everything has an abuse. If you use drug wrongly, it's what? Drug abuse. If you use Holy Ghost fire wrongly, it's what? Holy Ghost fire abuse. Sending Holy Ghost fire on your enemies is abuse. Where should we direct our Holy Ghost fire? Where? So let me pray for you. Holy Ghost fire upon you.
Amen.
And for me, Inko?
Amen.
No, you said amen. You didn't tell me anything. Amen. Hey, I'm the one that will say the amen. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost be upon me. If it's upon me, those who listen to me, they will be blessed. If it's upon you, the work that you do will progress. Those who you help, they will be blessed. If you're a tailor, Holy Ghost fire is upon you. When you sew cloth, people will be happy. Some people just realize that anytime this clothes that this girl makes, anytime I wear them, depression leaves me. I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, if you're a mechanic, Holy Ghost fire is upon your hands. Once, in fact, they will know that, don't worry, just drop the car there, it will be fine. That is called Holy Ghost fire mechanicing. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
You like my English? You know, I always invent words once in a while. That is the purpose of Holy Ghost fire. If you use Holy Ghost fire to make clothes for people, it will remove depression from their soul. One of my friends those days, he said that, I tell you, they are going to laugh. When holiday for a very long time. And his father was very, very conservative. So my friend had some very fine clothes. His father did not know he had them. So he said, he'll have a bath in the morning, dress up, go to the mirror, look at himself, turn around. After a while, he removed the clothes and hung them again. Because we were on holiday, he couldn't wear the clothes anywhere. So he just hid them in the house. He would just dress up. Dress up very nicely. Wear a very nice shirt. Wear, you know, nice shoes, everything. And stand in front of the mirror. Look at himself for a while. And then he'll remove the clothes and go hang them again. In the same manner, if you use the anointing of the Holy Spirit, people just, when they are sad, they just go and wear the clothes you made. Look at themselves in the mirror. And then suddenly, depression will lift. That is Holy Spirit working. Amen?
Amen.
God sent the Holy Spirit to empower everything that we do. Once in a while, my wife would say, I have not sold some things in a while. She entered her store and lay hands. All of you, move, move, move. Next day, who were here? Madam, please, can I buy this? I say, hey, now you're walking. You enter your shop. Say, Holy Ghost fire upon this shop. Just watch tomorrow. Customers will queue. Sales, that's your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, that's what the fire of the Holy Spirit is for. It is not for your enemies. We can't say these things enough. Why we keep on talking like this, that people will go out and hear the opposite. They start hearing testimonies. There was one girl. The auntie said she will never marry. The day the woman died, suddenly she had 17 proposals. There was one man. Now listen, those things, believe me, in the life of a Christian, they are lies. Listen, don't come and tell me any story. I don't want to hear it. That girl is not a Christian. She just goes to church. She didn't give her life to Christ. I don't want to hear the stories of unbelievers. Please, I need to emphasize this thing. Listen, you are free. The devil can't do anything to you. The prayer of Christians, all right? You know, we're talking about God-centered prayer. Let me go on from where we stopped last time, you know, because last time I remember, the one we spoke about last was when I was talking about temptation. Let's read a few scriptures to just help us again. The only thing Satan tries to do. Now, you know, on Saturdays, I began to talk about the habitation of God, purification of the flesh and the spirit. Please, if anybody listening to this, make sure you get those messages. Because what I plan to do as we go on is to take the things that we preach on Saturday and use them to pray on Tuesdays. All right? The two of them will run side by side. You see exactly what God is doing in our lives. In fact, the more I meditate about that thing, I'm almost tempted to start preaching that Saturday message now again. Let me stop. All right? There are two Psalms I must read on Saturday. Psalm 114 and Psalm 132, which we read the other day. All right? Very, very powerful. All right? Now, the thing about it is that what God is doing is to ensure that he can dwell in our lives. That's all. What he wants to do, all right, is for him to dwell bodily, like they said concerning Jesus Christ, in us. So that many of the things that people consider problems that they pray about, for us, they are solved automatically. Like I said, lack, all right, for the Christian is not a prayer point. Jesus said, don't even worry about it. He said, well, I must prosper in this life. He said, no, you don't worry about those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added to you. It's not maybe peradventure, one day God might remember you. No, they will be added to you. The degree to which they are not added is the degree to which you are not seeking the right things. Which means if you're a Christian, the more you seek those things, the less of them you have. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's a matter of fact. So what do we do? Let's read the scriptures, all right? Just so that we are reading the Bible, okay? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the one we have been reading. Remember, what we are talking about is what? Answer me like you are there now. All right, thank you. God-centered praying, all right? Now, so as to save time, I'll just rush through reading from verse 16. Let's just start from verse 16. He said, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Remember, we said on Saturday, this last Saturday, when we were preaching about this, I said to be a son and a daughter, it's not a light thing. It's not just to say, I'm a Christian. It's very, very deep. It's very deep. The day the Lord Jesus Christ called Jesus and called God his father, the Jews took up stones to stone him because they realized what he was saying. He said, by saying that, he was making himself equal with God. And so when God said, I will be their father, a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, what he was saying is that I will bring you to a particular level that when you walk on this earth, it will be as if I myself am the one walking. That if the Jews will hear pronouncements from your mouth, they should actually take up stones to stone you also. That what I'm doing in your life, this is my purpose, this is my goal, is to come and dwell in you. And we read from that book of Colossians that we know that in him was dwelling the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that's what he's talking about. So what David said in Psalm 132 is that I will not rest until I've found a dwelling place for my God. That is, this is our quest, our goal also as believers, that we will not rest until our lives, do you understand my point, have become a dwelling place for God. So Paul said, this is the plan of God, this is his purpose, this is a promise, that he will be our God and will be his people. We will be sons and daughters individually to him. He said, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We've been talking about that. Now, what I want to bring out from here today is this, which will also, like I mentioned earlier, if you are listening to this, get the series, The Habitation of God, The Purification of the Spirit, all right? Those are the two titles we'll use for it. It will be running side by side. Now, what I want to bring out from here is this. One is, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement. How do we cleanse ourselves of all defilement? There are many of it we'll talk about on Saturday as we are teaching. But what I want to emphasize here, because it's our school of prayer, is the role of prayer in cleansing ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That is, when we say let us cleanse ourselves, listen to me, prayer is crucial. I've been saying this again and again. The problem you have with the devil is not what he can do to you, as in kill you, afflict you, take your money, make sure you don't prosper, you understand? Make sure you are not fruitful in what you do, make sure you don't live long. Those are not the things, even the devil knows he can't do them to you. You are the one, all right, that has been wrongly taught that he may be able to do them to you. Even the devil himself knows that he cannot. The only thing the devil can do to you, one thing, just one thing, not two, not one and a half, just one thing, is that he tempts. The only thing he can do to you is what? Tempt you. That is the only thing, no other thing. He gets his power from when we fall for temptation. He's an accuser. You know the meaning of the word accuser? It means he has to go before a judge to get judgment. Please, we must understand this. Many people who are praying against the devil, they fall for him every day. Why? Because their prayers are wrongly focused. For example, there is trouble in the home. Or no, let's say there's no trouble. So if they go somewhere, they tell them that the devil wants to attack you. Then they wake up at night and say, devil, I want to tell you, you can't attack me. It's a waste of time. If you come to me now, and I know you are an authentic prophet, you are not a lying prophet, you are not TB Joshua, you are a real prophet. Assuming, all right? Then you come to me and you say, Pastor Banky. I say, yeah? He said, I dreamt, or the Lord revealed to me, and I saw demons, the devil and all his angels, they were heading for your house. I said, what does God tell you? He said, nothing. I was just told to warn you. Now, listen to this. What I want to tell you, I'm very serious about it, all right? This is how it is. I'm very, very serious. This is how an average Christian responds. And let me quickly tell you ahead, before I tell you how they respond, is the wrong way to respond. They start praying. They start drawing the bloodline around the house. See, this house, the devil, you can't enter here. You can't enter here. Now, listen to me. I started by saying that a real prophet, not a joke, not a joker, not a clown that's just trying to dream. You know, sometimes if you smoke before you slept, you may dream. Yes, no, try it one day. Buy Indian hemp. You smoke heavily before you sleep. You'll be dreaming nonsense dreams. All right? So I'm not talking about those kind of people. I'm talking about real, genuine prophets. All right? And you say, you saw in a vision, the devil heading for my home. I will not get up at night to start fighting the onslaught of that devil. Now remember, I believe you. I'm not doubting you. I didn't say the devil cannot attack a Christian. I just say he can't do anything. You know, there's a world of difference. All right? Now, why am I talking like this? Because I understand that attack. I understand it. Will I pray? Yes, I will pray. About the devil? Not exactly. I understand there is only one thing he can do. That attack, you may not realize it. It's an assault of temptation that is coming. That's all. He's not coming to do anything more than tempt. So what am I going to do? I am going to raise my shield of faith. What am I going to do? I am going to pray, like Jesus told the disciples, pray that you do not fall or enter into temptation. And we know that that was what he was praying about. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. His temptation was that maybe, that is, my flesh is too weak. I cannot by myself go to the cross. So there is a chance, that is a temptation, that will not do the will of the Father. Then we'll start praying against that temptation. That horde of demons you saw, they are coming to tempt me. There are different ways by which they will come. I may not know the exact way, so I'll start praying the simple prayer, like Jesus taught disciples to pray, so that I will not fall into temptation. And for God to show you that attack, what it actually means, you understand? There are a number of meanings. One, it could be that the devil has sensed that I'm weak in an area. So God says, go and strengthen yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? For example, one of the things that happened, you know, remember Ahithophel, when he said to Absalom, now your father will be weary, this is the time to attack. Wise people in warfare, they know the time to attack is when the fellow is what? Tired. So if you tell me that maybe after 1 year of ministering, morning, afternoon, evening, weekends, and for the last few months I've been ministering like that, you tell me that the first thing I do is I stop my ministry. Some people say, is that the way you should work more for God? No. When you are tired, you are weak. That's why God commanded them to have Sabbaths. And when the disciples returned to the Lord Jesus Christ with testimonies, he said, come aside and rest for a while. Go and read my book, How to Work for God. I called a segment, The Work of Rest. Rest is work for God. You give me that kind of revelation, I take time out. And remember, it is because I trust you. I know you are not a joker. If you are the ones that have been chasing witches all over the place, I won't answer you. As you are going, I close the door. I say, my friend, shift. But if I trust that you really are a prophet, your messages from God are genuine. That's how I want to handle it. I'm not going to raise people to come and start fight this enemy. I heard the devil is coming after me. I'm telling you, the spirit of Zuzu, hey, come on, you will not get me. No. A lot of people pray those prayers and they still fall for the devil. My spiritual antenna will only be alert. Every form of temptation, I will be watching out for it. Any temptation of any sort, I'm on the alert. Because that is the only thing the devil can do. And that's why the Lord told the disciples, he said, pray that you will not enter into temptation. That's what he told them. And when he was teaching them to pray, he said, pray that, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When Jesus prayed for his disciples, he said that he was praying to the Lord for them, that he will keep them from the evil one. What was he saying? So that they will not fall into the temptation of the devil. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat, all of you. But I have prayed for you, that your faith will not fail. Did you notice what he prayed about? He didn't pray for them that they will not lose money. He did not pray for them that they will not fall sick. He did not pray for them that Satan, the witches after their lives, will not get them. What did he pray? That their faith will not fail. Which means, therefore, if you were to give me that vision and that revelation, I know where to balance my prayer. I know there's an attack coming on my faith. I know it may get to a point. Some people will draw guns and say, deny your Jesus Christ. I know. Maybe I'm a politician or I'm in high government office. And I know it will happen. That some people will bring, you know, I told you there was one man in this country. They said, go and arrest somebody. This really happened. The man was told to go and arrest a man that was wanted by EFCC. He got there. And the man, his men were with him. You are under arrest. The man said, all right, I understand I'm under arrest. But please, give me 24 hours. Just go home. Come back tomorrow to execute the arrest. In 24 hours, I will have settled myself. For giving me 24 hours, I give you $5 million. And the man brought it out in cash. Listen, that is how Satan operates. The demon that you saw heading for that man's house in your dream, that's how it's manifesting. If you are waiting for them to to come at the door with what they call red scarf on their head and chalk over their faces and carrying those things they show in films. All those pellets and cowries and the kongoro that they carry and they say, hey, we are evil spirits. We will kill him today. It will not happen. It will not happen. Spiritual things operate funny. I was just discussing, you know, I was reminding somebody the other day of a story that somebody told me. If I tell the story too long, it will, you know, move me away from my meeting, distract me, all right? So as not to be distracted, I'll just make it very short. A man was saved by the power of God. How did he felt he was going to die early in life. He thought he wouldn't live beyond a particular age. A few days to that birthday, all right? Before they had given life to Christ and the feeling left, you understand? A few days to that birthday, somebody came out, pointed a gun at him, and fired at close range. But just before that, his friend had said, wind up the glass of the car. And he had raised the glass a bit or brought it down, something. But the material that lifts the glass up and down in that car was not hanging at a particular level and it trapped the bullet. If we're to see in the realm of the spirit, you will see an angel hold it. Physically speaking, was metal. The fact that you have an explanation for something does not mean it's not spiritual. When Elisha, when the mountain was surrounded by soldiers from the king of Syria, and he said, the servant said, alas, my master, how shall we do? What did Elisha say? Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then he prayed that God should open the eyes of his servant. And the eyes of the servant opened. And the servant saw the chariots of fire round about the mountain. Now let me ask you, did those soldiers approach and get close? Yes. Did the angels fight physically that you know everything went upside down? No. What happened? They were blinded. And the blindness was not that they could not see. They could still see. But they saw Elisha and they were unable to recognize him. And we know it was angelic operation. So they got confused. It was when Elisha dragged them to the center of Samaria and the king said, should I kill them? That's when they woke up. And it was angelic manifestation. What am I saying? So when you hear that demons are coming to attack, don't think you just wake up one morning and discover you are dead. No. Listen, the temptation, the way it's going to come, different ways. Somebody will offer you $1 million. And you know what you are, what he's asking you to do is, listen, is wrong. And you think that, this is prosperity. No, it's a demonic attack. I don't know how to handle this story. There's a story I heard some time ago. Let me summarize it like this. This is a very weird, yes, I have a good way to summarize it. A woman was being tempted seriously. The funny part is that her husband even joined the temptation. She was being tempted to commit adultery. And when I was told the story, I said instantly, they want to kill this woman. They've tried everything. It hasn't worked. And I said, maybe I assumed. Yes, maybe. But let me tell you something. I now went to work one day. I told one of my colleagues, he's also a minister of the gospel. I told him the story. Before I finished telling the story, he said, that girl's husband is in a cult. They want to kill that woman. I had not finished the story. I just said, look, see the kind of wahala with this life. Can you imagine this kind of temptation? When I got to work next, I was telling a colleague of mine. He just said, he said that's an occultic activity. I said, this was just what I said. He said, of course, that we understand how these things work. If you're able to see into the realm of the spirit, you will have seen demons running after this woman. But many people not knowing how to pray, they'll be praying against all the enemies. I say, I will die. You understand? Let me just tell you, I'm not going to die. I'm just going to die. They will still die. Because they misunderstand the assault. The assault is a temptation to sin. It comes in different ways. You've heard, by the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed. You hear so much, you wake up one morning and you are sick. You know, that's also a temptation. Some people think Satan came and attacked my flesh. The truth is that he didn't come to attack your flesh. He came to attack your faith. You can fall for him by saying that, after everything I believed, did not even work. I'm still sick. And that is called falling for the temptation of the devil. One of the things you watch most in your life is your mouth. Watch your mouth. Watch what comes out of it. If you are thinking a thought that is not correct, only God knows. The devil doesn't know. Listen, only two people know what you are thinking. You and God. As for Satan, he's not sure. So if you don't see anything, oh God, I've told you I've listened to Kenny Hagin a lot. The man has blessed me so much over the years. He said, if I still heard that story today, I was in the car. Yesterday. He said that years after he had become healed, one day he woke up and all the symptoms of heart trouble came upon him. At night, he woke up and he just felt that he was going to die. So you know what he did? He started laughing. He said, I didn't feel like laughing. He said, the laughter sounded very dry. Ha, 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 ha. He said, that's exactly how dry it sounded. And before he started laughing, he said, he heard a voice inside his heart saying, it's come back upon you now. This is one time you are not going to get healed. When he heard that, he knew it was the devil tempting him. So he began to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha. Why was he laughing like that? He didn't feel like laughing. So after a while, the devil said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you. So what are you laughing at me for? You said this is one time I'm not going to get healed. The devil said, that's right. This is one time you won't get healed. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. That discussion went on for some time. He kept on going back and forth. This one time you're not going to get healed. So you said that. Ha, 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 ha. So after a while, he said, you are right. This is one time I'm not going to get healed. Do you know why? Because I am already healed. I can't be trying to get what I already have. Now, why did I emphasize, why did I tell the story? To emphasize the point that he said he didn't feel like laughing. But he just told himself, I'm going to laugh. And listen, laughter is a sign of victory. Go and read Psalm 2. For us believers, laughter is a sign of what? Victory. That's why the name of Isaac is laughter. You know the meaning of Isaac? Toing. It's like doing toing to the devil, you know? You know? That's the meaning of Isaac. Now, please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain here. That affliction was actually a temptation. Not the way we look at it as if the devil is trying to kill you. No, it is that he wants you to agree with him. It's temptation. So if somebody were to tell me, oh, I saw a horde of demons heading your direction, I'm not afraid that, in fact, if you become afraid, that is the greatest weapon they have against you. I will not be afraid. The only thing I will not, maybe temptation is coming. So I must strengthen my faith. I would not deny my Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? So I double up on my confession of the faith that I have. Because that is what he's trying to do. Why am I saying all of these things? The only power he actually has against you is that temptation. So Jesus told the disciples, this is how you pray. Pray that you do not enter into temptation. I'm talking about God-centered praying. Listen. Every profession in life, we say it all the time, has its own risks. Every profession. This is how I like to illustrate it. One of the most powerful professions in Nigeria today is this one I'm doing now, preaching. You know, it's very powerful. Do I need to prove it to you? No. But it's very simple. Touch your neighbor's shoulders. You see? Can you see adults obeying me without saying why?